Hello, this is Peter Bell, and I'm here with Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. Hello, Mickey.
Hello, Peter.
Yeah.
Sitting here at about 2,500 meters, and the flatlanders like you, Peter, are complaining about the altitude, and the people like me that live in the Rockies at altitude are going, "The air's thin? I didn't notice it." But the sun's bright, and you can tell by sitting out here in the sun that you don't want to be out here very long without a load of sunscreen, especially if you have a bald head like mine.
Well, I'm glad you have a nice shady spot. You've been at the Beaver Creek Conference this week. Good for you.
I have. I'm still here, and it's going to end here in about what, something like an hour, and there's a kind of a farewell luncheon, and there's a band, and there's the beers are free, and the beer will flow, and everybody will be out of here either this afternoon or tomorrow morning back to Denver to catch flights back to wherever they live in the world.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I'm glad to have a moment of your time here. We're recording this call, and I will be making it available. I'll post it to Twitter and stuff and tag the conference. The conference has been really good about live streaming the speeches. They make them available as well after the fact, and there's just a huge, huge wealth of information on that website. And it's not part of YouTube. It's not part of any of the major, video sharing sites. It's really some small independent thing from what I can tell that they created. And sometimes it can be buggy on my phone when I try and go to some videos, but I've been able to make it work and very
Well, that's
much
good to
worth.
know.
The one in Zurich as well that they do, that one's coming up just around the corner too.
Yes, it is.
A quip for you here, Mickey. Yeah, it is. You can always tell luck from ability by its duration.
Yeah, I guess that's a good one. I hadn't really ever thought about that, but it's better to have ability and be lucky, and sometimes I would think you generate your own luck by having ability. Maybe to
Yep,
be at the
and
right place at the right time.
The harder harder I work, the luckier I get.
There you go.
I also have a copy of Hills of Silver, the Yukon's mighty Keno Hill mine, and Dr. R.O.E. Aho.
Well, Keno Hill was a very rich silver district, and it's likely to become a producing district once again. And I would think the near future with what Alesco's doing up there.
Yeah. And what a great new chapter in the history of that place and the history of Canada and the history of the world, mining and all this.
Certainly is. I was in Keno Hill a couple of months ago.
Yes, I think I saw some photos. And
Yeah,
I
you
may have
did.
even seen I saw mention of a report on fireweed. I haven't seen the report myself. I guess I should go and have a look. Is it up for free on your website?
Well, on a week ago today, we posted a mercenary musing called "A Second Summer Tour of the Yukon," and once again, I was asked to come up there and participate in a media analyst tour thing, and so I flew up there, went to Dawson for the one-day conference, and went and looked at three projects, three companies in 2 days, which included this time White Gold and Metallic Minerals in the aforementioned Keno Hill district, and the other one was Firewood Zinc on the very near the border with Northwest Territories.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
that's subjects for another day. Let's talk about the conference here.
Please tell me, what have you seen?
Well, it's pretty busy here. There are 1,000 delegates. They capped it at 1,000. So if you didn't Register early. You didn't get in. It's qualified investors only, so you've got to have some financial assets to get in here, and it's very oriented with a bunch of companies presenting, and I think they get 20-minute presentations, and then there's one-on-one meetings, and there's been so much demand that a lot of the one-on-one meetings are not in. They ran out of designated spots to have those, so a lot of times they're just on the fly. There's plenty of outside and inside seating, and so you meet your parties at the reception desk and go find a place to sit down and talk. So I don't do that many of the one-to-one meetings because I choose to instead hang out around the conference, indoors or outdoors, and look for people, meet people that I want to take meetings with. So I've been quite busy doing that.
If you just put yourself
154 companies represented here, so it's grown considerably since last year, and there's lots of deal flow going around. I think last year the difference would be there was a lot of enthusiasm because at the time gold was around $1,350 an ounce, and you know we'd come off a brilliant summer of for the gold stocks, and this was a year ago. This was kind of the peak of the gold market, and then it all kind of came crashing down with a $150 drop in the share price of gold. Actually, more than 150, I guess, top to bottom, about a $170 drop from say 1350 to 12 or to 1180. And
that's right, 1180. That's that number.
Yep. And so it seems to be back this year.
Did we tag 1400 or not quite?
No, never. I think last year the intraday high was maybe 1370. The closing high, well, I probably should try to remember that. 1353, okay. A couple of weeks ago.
Really?
No, it might have got to 1356 intraday, but not even close. And it didn't stay at that level very long. That was, what, maybe 3 weeks ago or something, 3 or 4 weeks ago when the North Korea tensions first really hit. And the gold market seems to be immune to those geopolitical events. Over the last 3 weeks, let's say.
Well, you know, zoom out, right? Be patient, all these things. You know, sometimes big things take time to be reflected. I'm sure you know.
I tell you the truth, Peter, I'm not really concerned with it. I think, you know, gold today or earlier this morning was at 1311. I don't know what it is as we speak, but it's up $6 or $7 today. I really think we're going to see a test of the 1300 level. I think the specs will try to drop it down and generate that. There'll be enough shorts that they'll try to knock the market down. And let's hope that if it does test 1300, it doesn't go below that. You know, I think the next resistance would be about 1280. Go down that long, then I would think that this rally would be waylaid for a while.
A question. I've heard it said that particularly about one junior share, somebody was saying, "Oh, the old all-time high was $1.50, and you know, recently it traded at $1.45 or $1.49 or something." And he was like, "I think the new bull market will start when it trades over $1.50." And so, like, this idea of all-time highs, I've heard a lot of people, you know, talk about
one,
it.
And he's talking about one junior.
Yeah, in that particular case,
Well,
but it's more a
that's
con.
absolutely ridiculous take. That one company could divine a bull or bear market.
Oh, no, not a bull market broadly, but just a bull market in the name.
I don't know
Not
either.
so, but the
Is
so
this
sorry,
someone
no,
on a bullet on a bulletin board someplace?
no. Well, and so the question applies, but it applies to gold though. If we trade above $2,000, is that a top or is that the start of a new bull market? Or when we trade above $2,000?
When we trade above 2,000? Well, we never
Is that
have.
the start? I know, but if and supposing that we do, is that the start of a new bull market?
No, we're at 1,300 right now. That would be
That would be the top. Or?
a 60% increase in the price of gold, or 55% increase. That's ridiculous. Maybe you would hope you do not get your wish, because if gold goes to $2,000 anytime in the near future, you're probably better off owning some bullets than you are
Yeah.
along with your gold. I mean, that's just, I don't foresee $2,000 gold anytime, perhaps in my lifetime. Back in the day, people kept saying 2,000, and I kept saying it's not going to get there. Never got there. Didn't even get close. That would be an exponential rise in the price of gold. And when markets do that, they come back down. And we saw that when gold went exponential in 2009, after the global economic crisis. What did it do? It peaked at intraday high of 1900. Didn't even never even closed in New York at 1900,
Oh, really?
and then it lost 40% of its value down to 1046, if memory serves.
Yeah. Oh, God. How long did that take? Was that 6 months or less?
Oh
No.
no, that was that
This is
that took
that's
a
over
long
years.
time, but Peter, it took a longer time for it to get from 400 to 1900 than it did for it to get from 1900 or 1895 was the New York high close ever for gold. It took a hell of a lot longer to go up than it did to come down. So,
Well, and but this is this question about markets in general and old all-time highs. You know, are they resistance? Are they support? Like, do they matter?
well, certainly they're looked on as resistance. If gold gets up around, geez, I just hope it doesn't happen. It means that some geopolitical event has wrecked turmoil in the world economy. So if gold's going to be at, we're talking $1,900 gold, I don't foresee it, and I don't want it to happen.
Well, I had a terrible thought myself just recently, and it was imagining what will happen at the press dinner that they have for the American president, and thinking I was imagining Louis C.K. doing stand up for President Donald Trump.
Yeah, I don't know. I would just not soon not get into a political conversation, I think.
I can understand that. Thank you. Thank you. So, is there any particular new names that you've seen this week at the conference that
Yeah, there's been
particularly
some new deal
appetizing?
flow happening. We've seen it in press releases. A couple of companies that I am participating as a shareholder with new companies would be Revival Gold, which acquired the Bear Track mine in Idaho. Another new big news yesterday was that the new Integra Resources is acquiring the old Delamar mine in southern Idaho. So
Wow.
two significant news events, two significant acquisitions from major mining companies, major gold mining companies, by newly minted juniors. So that's what I'm talking about. There's lots of deal flow here. Lots of spin outs where companies have been successful and they're spinning out other assets into new startup companies. So that's very healthy for the market.
This Idaho is aspect of that news that you mentioned there. That's very interesting. I gather that there's some, you know, just exceptional, I believe, silver mineralization that I've heard of in that state.
Well, Idaho's known for its silver in the Silver Valley, but these are really gold deposits.
Really?
Delamar has significant silver with it, but Bear Track up in central Idaho in the Salmon River country is an orogenic gold deposit, or thought to be an orogenic gold deposit with no silver.
Yeah, so pretty old, tied in with the Rockies there, I guess?
Yeah, I don't, you know, at this point, these things produce gold in the 80s and maybe into the 90s, so, you know, I would be operating totally on memory banks that are 20 to 25 to 35 years old on this stuff. So those were two of the larger producers, historic gold producers, or recent gold producers in Idaho, and shed as non-core assets by juniors. With those, or by senior gold companies, two juniors, and both those juniors will end up with stakes and in the company. So
it's great to hear the Integra team riding again. Steve DeYoung. Did you see him at the conference this week?
I'm sorry, did I see who from Integra?
Steve DeJong.
No, I met yesterday. I met with George Salamis and Max Baker of the new Integra.
Yeah, that's great. Anything further afield, or is there? How do you feel about being in the U.S.? You know, in Idaho.
Well, it's full steam ahead. So I guess we will pull a little politics in this with this Trump administration and his executive orders, which is really demanding a can-do attitude from federal agencies versus the can't-do or it's going to be delayed attitude that was pervasive during the Obama administration. So
okay, that's a significant change. I
that.
Thank you.
Very
yeah, I hadn't heard that before.
Yep.
Encouraging. And I always wonder about, you know, technology as part of a revival of whether U.S. manufacturing, industrial base, you know, metals and agriculture, the full gamut of things. And I saw a photo of a Tesla truck. It was just kind of backlit, and I don't really know anything about it. But, you know, there seems to be some hope around significant changes and a lot of these things, you know, and starting in the U.S. domestically. And if that could coincide with a wave of, you know, broader economic activity, could be a big deal for you guys down there. I mean, leapfrog, put up some real growth numbers for a change.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything else? Any highlights from
Peter,
the week?
Yeah,
any one
I've
moment?
Got to scurry off to a meeting here pretty quick, so I think we probably let's just wrap this one up.
All right, Mickey. Pleasure.
All right. Thanks a lot, Peter.